All right, so the last 2 weeks has been camp season for us at Calvary. 2 weeks ago was high school week, and then this past week was middle school week. And unfortunately, we only had two kids that were able to go to camp. We got me and Hallie up here that were at camp this last week, which is why Mia sounds the way she does, because she had a fun time, clearly, because my philosophy is if you come back from camp with a voice, then you clearly didn't have a fun time. So we're going to have Mia and Hallie stand up, and they're going to share a little bit of their experience from this past week at camp. So who wants to go first? All right, go for it, Hallie.
One of them was the faculty search, murder mystery, a cyber game that I don't know what to call. Oh, there's a night swimming.
Wow. What'd you learn?
Jonah, and how he got ate by a whale or a fish or whatever it was, and he spent 3 days and 3 nights in the whale, and I got out of it.
Nice. Yeah. Thanks, Ellie. A little bit more.
Some of my favorite things were worship, the water balloons, and the games, and making new friends.
This is the quietest you'll ever hear, Mia, so enjoy it. Worship, games, meeting new friends.
Learn about how God goes beyond his creation.
Okay. Is that?
Yeah.
Thank you, too. All right, you guys can have a seat. If you guys know Mia, normally she is not that quiet, so that is a little bit, I don't know if you call it a blessing. Tina, is that a blessing that she's that quiet? Is it a blessing? Okay. So like I said, 2 weeks ago, I was packed and ready to head to high school camp. And like always, when camp season rolls around, I get very excited, enthusiastic, energetic about the week that is to come. Now, you have to understand that I did not grow up going to church camp. Instead, I went to Boy Scout camp. And though Boy Scout camp was fun, I have learned that it was not the same experience as of what church camp is. Now, it wasn't until the summer that I graduated high school that I went to church camp. All right, and I didn't go as a camper. I actually went as a counselor for a middle school week of camp. And little did I know that how much of an impact that week would have on my life. Not only did it have a great impact on my personal walk with Christ, but it also helped me become the pastor who I am to be. And camp actually became a place that I longed to be. But what was it about camp that was so impactful, so meaningful, the place that I wanted to be? Well, to me, it became a place where I could naturally be who I am without worry of major judgment. When I went to camp, I had 5 Hawaiian shirts packed, and I could wear them without fear of judgment from my wife. So it's a great thing to be able to wear something that's comfortable, even though my wife tells me I look like a 50-year-old man when I do it. All right, because when you're at camp, it is normal to not be normal. So it was at camp that I learned who I was, who God created me to be. It was where at camp that I could tap into the joy of God, and that is where it has a place in my heart. I learned that when I was my weird, wacky, loud, obnoxious self, that I was actually able to connect with students on a different level and connect with them more than I realized. I've also learned that as I just share simple things about myself and what I think are just conversations to be had throughout the day are actually life-changing moments for others around me. But why was this? It was because at camp, I found myself fully surrendered to God and His will for me during that week. My agenda did not matter. It was all about Him and pointing others to Him. It is the week out of the year that I get the least amount of sleep. I think I averaged 4.5 hours the other week a night. But it's also the week that I struggle the least getting up out of bed in the morning. So after a few years of helping out with camp, I fully understood the phrase from Nehemiah that says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And all of it began to click. At the end of any great church event, whether it was camp, VBS, a youth event, or even just a really good Sunday morning, I would find myself tired but energized because I had tapped into the joy of the Lord for strength to do the event. So I think that we can all agree that the phrase, "the joy of the Lord is my strength," is a powerful declaration that has deep spiritual implications and significance. It reminds us of the incredible source of strength and empowerment that comes from having a personal relationship with God. But what is the context in which that phrase comes from? Well, as I said before, it comes from the book of Nehemiah. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the book of Nehemiah, it starts off with the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. We find the phrase in question following the completion of the walls and the great return of many of the Israelites who had come to help rebuild the temple, rebuild the walls, and then who were coming back together out of captivity from the Babylonians. So in Nehemiah chapter 8, we read how Ezra is presenting the law to the people of Israel. So if you would open up to Nehemiah chapter 8, and we're going to be looking at verses 9 to 12. So Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 12. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep," for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our God. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink and send portions of food to celebrate with great joy because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. So we find this phrase in context where Ezra the scribe has brought the book of the law to the people and has presented it to them. Now, we know that the people had been in exile before coming back home to Israel to build the temple and to build the walls of Jerusalem. And when they gathered to hear Ezra, they were moved by what the law had to say. They were convicted, and I'm sure after hearing it, felt very unworthy. But that is where our phrase comes in. Instead of feeling sorrowful and overwhelmed by their failures, Nehemiah encourages them to rejoice in the Lord's goodness and His faithfulness. Don't dwell on what has been or what has happened, but instead look towards the Lord for strength and for joy. When we look at the meaning of this phrase and what it represents, we see that our joy, true joy in our lives, comes from the Lord. When we have that joy, we find that our strength is renewed and we are invigorated. finding that joy also means finding confidence, finding hope and encouragement when we are in God's presence. So in essence, joy becomes the foundation of our strength. It becomes the essence of who we are. Now here's the deal. When we talk about joy, we also must address a similar word that some may want to interchange with joy, and that happens to be happiness. Happiness is an emotion that is fleeting, and very often it is determined on our circumstances. For instance, I often share a story with teens about a lady by the name of Malia Honnold. Now, Malia was a lady in the church that I grew up in as a teenager, and she was a lady that was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, all right? And ultimately, that was the cause of her death. Now, it's a much longer story, and if you want to listen to it, I'd love to share it, but Malia's story is so much greater. Because I had the privilege of talking to Malia just a few weeks before she passed away. And when I was sitting there talking with her, now mind you, she was communicating by typing things out on an iPad and sending it to a speaker to read out. So that was communicating with Malia at this time. But just a few weeks before she passed away, I had the privilege of sitting there talking with her. And Malia wasn't concerned with how she was doing. She was more concerned about how I was doing in the ministry that I had just got going. You see, in that moment, Malia wasn't happy with her condition. But boy, was Malia filled with joy, the joy of the Lord. And she wasn't worried about herself and what was going on. She was worried about those that she loved and cared for that she was leaving behind. And at the same time, when Malia passed away, at her funeral, it was not a happy occasion. But boy, there was a lot of joy in that room knowing that Malia had gone home to be with her Savior, that Malia was no longer struggling with a disease of this world. Because you see, happiness is a feeling where joy is a way of life. This world that we live in is challenging, and it can drain us of our happiness. When we face trials and temptations and hardships of many kinds, those things weaken us and they beat us down. But the joy that we find in the Lord is not dependent upon our circumstances. It is something that is deeper than the surface, and it comes from knowing in our hearts that we are loved, that we are forgiven, and that we are empowered by God. When we tap into the joy of the Lord, it becomes our source of resilience and endurance. It gives us the strength to persevere through whatever may come our way. And so when we look at James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, and he tells us to consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. When we have the joy of the Lord, we can face anything, which only strengthens us as Christians. Now, before we address how the joy of the Lord can give us strength or what we can do with that joy, there may be some who are wondering, how do I even get that joy? How do we find the joy of the Lord and implement it in our lives? Well, for starters, we must first begin by seeking the Lord. And not just in a little way, but wholeheartedly. That means that we must seek him more than just on a Sunday morning when we gather at church. Wholeheartedly means that we are taking time each and every day for him, that we are taking time for prayer, that we are taking time to spend reading our Bibles, that we are taking time to meditate upon his words and implementing it and allowing it to change us. Finding joy in the Lord is not a momentary emotion, but a core part of who we are. And it's a choice that we must make every single day, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what is going on around us. So whatever circumstance that we find ourselves in, we must also always have a spirit of gratitude. Many times as humans, it's easy for us to find the negative in any situation. We can always find something we don't like. But when we take on a spirit of gratitude, we shift our focus from what is missing or what we don't like to what we have been blessed with, and we focus on positive things. We must take time to count our blessings and to thank God for His goodness. And as we focus on God's goodness, we must also understand that what God deems to be good for us may not be the same thing that we think is good for us. So we must let go of our own plans and surrender to what God's will is. And as we surrender, we must trust that His plans for us are good, even when things don't go the way we expect them to. Surrendering our desires and trusting in His wisdom brings about such a sense of great peace and of great joy. So once we have sought after the Lord and once we have surrendered our lives to Him, we must always remember to work and to stay in His presence. As joy is rooted in the Lord, in Psalm 16:11 it states, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." As we continue to grow as Christians, reading and studying His word, spending time in worship and in prayer, we become part of God's presence. We spend that time in God's presence. And in that presence, we will find His joy, and His joy will then fill us. And when we experience the joy of the Lord, it will change our perspective. As challenges come into our lives, we begin to see them through a spiritual lens. Instead of asking, why would God allow this to happen, our focus then shifts to, how will God use this for His glory? We can focus on God's faithfulness and His promises rather than being overwhelmed by our circumstances. In kids' worship today, we would have been looking at the book of Habakkuk. Now, is Habakkuk in the Old Testament or New Testament? Old Testament, thank you. We do that every week. Whatever book you're in, we ask if it's the New or Old Testament. So yes, Habakkuk is in the Old Testament. And Habakkuk talks about a time coming when Judah will be conquered by Babylon. Habakkuk starts off by essentially complaining to God and about what God has not been doing. All right? God then shows Habakkuk of what He has been doing and how it has been working out for His plan. With that, Habakkuk's attitude switches from complaining to trusting. He sees the things that God has done and realizes that God has a greater plan for all things. So in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, when Habakkuk says, "O Lord, I have heard your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day, in our time make them known. In wrath, remember mercy." Habakkuk closes that chapter with these words in verses 17 and 19. "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength." Habakkuk goes from seeing things how the world would want him to see them in a negative manner, in a negative light, to seeing that how all things have fit together in God's great plan for the nations. You see, when we grow deeper with God, our perspective changes. God uses all situations for His glory if we allow Him to. When we live in the joy of the Lord, it becomes an empowering thing. It instills in us a spirit of service, of willingness to do kingdom work. It ignites a passion within us to share the love of Christ with those who are around us. Now, I know sharing our faith can be something intimidating, But when we tap into the joy of the Lord, it empowers us and it encourages us to step out in faith and to serve and share with others selflessly, to boldly proclaim the gospel with whomever we encounter. And with that, we are able to fulfill the Great Commission, to go into the world, to make disciples, to baptize, to teach them, to go to share the love of Christ. Now again, I know it can be intimidating to share our faith, but can I offer some advice? Start small. Start in your own family. Start with your own friends. Start here at Calvary. Each week here at Calvary, there are many ways to serve. There are many ways to share your faith. At the beginning, I started by sharing my experience at camp and how it has shaped me into the pastor I am today, the goofy Hawaiian shirt wearing pastor standing before you, all right? But I can tell you this, standing in front of kids and talking to kids is one thing that I'm comfortable with doing. Standing in front of a bunch of adults, that's intimidating because y'all have judgmental faces. Right? But if I can share this with you, the deeper that I go into the joy of the Lord, the easier it becomes to stand and proclaim the gospel. The deeper my relationship is with Christ, the more confident I stand and I talk about what he's doing in my life and I share with others. And so it is difficult at times. But when we start small, when we begin practicing, when we go deeper into that joy is what keeps us going. And so, like I said, I can stand up in front of kids. I can stand up in front of teens. As much as kids and teens frustrate me, I love doing it, and I love them. Especially when I see a student having a connection with God, or having an aha moment, when I see their faith taking a step deeper, when I see them wanting to get baptized and then following through with that. That helps me connect deeper with the joy of the Lord. And so each week, as a team of us are back working with the kids of Calvary, we're reminded that we aren't just back there instilling a positive message into the kids' lives, but instead we are instilling within them a deep connection with pure joy in their lives. And so that's what keeps me going. When a student commits, when a student gets it, when a student says, I want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior, that's my drive. The joy they see, the joy they feel that comes from the Lord. And so I wanted to give you guys a little bit of a taste of that. You heard a little bit from Hallie and Mia and their experience at camp this past week. But we've had events going on for several years since I've been here. But I want to share just a little bit of what we've been doing since the start of this year. And so I put together a little bit of video that starts off with something we do each week with the kids, where we share or we state what we're learning about the month and then what our memory verse is. And then you'll see followed by many pictures of the different events that we've been having this past year at Calvary. So, Steve, go ahead.
Joy. Choosing to celebrate what God is doing. A cheerful heart makes you healthy, but a broken spirit drives you up.
Watching the nightly news, don't seem to find the rhythm, just wanna sing the blues. Feels like a song that never stops, feels like it's never gonna. Gotta get that fire back in my bones before my heart turns into stone. So when somebody please pass the megaphone, I'll shout it on the count of three. Pretty night, I'm singing to the sky. Give me-
gotta get that fire back in my bones before my heart turns into stone. So somebody please pass the megaphone. I'll shout it on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. All in my prayer tonight, I'm singing to the sky. Joy down in my heart, down in my heart to stay.
I don't know how many of you are like me, but when we sing praise songs, I have a tendency of singing a little bit louder than I probably should. And it's when I stop and just stop singing and listen that you can feel the Spirit coming in around you. And this morning, as our kids were up here singing, I stopped singing for just a moment and listening to the voices of our young ones, lifting up their voices and singing praise to the Lord. That's the joy I'm talking about. That's the joy that I love feeling. To me, that's the pure joy of the Lord. And so do whatever you need to do today. Do whatever it is that the Spirit is prompting you to do to dive deeper into that joy. Because as I said earlier, happiness is a feeling that is fleeting. But that joy of the Lord, oh, it's so sustaining. And boy, does it feel good. No matter what we face in our lives. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your joy, for your Spirit, for what it is that you give us that empowers us to make it through whatever circumstances that this world tries to throw at us. Lord, it's my prayer now that that joy would become something that is so sustaining within us, that no matter what Satan tries to throw at us, that we can laugh in his face, and he may try to get us down. But our source of power, source of strength, is so much deeper than that. So Lord, I ask that you would use your Spirit to convict us, to challenge us, to do whatever it would take for us to tap in deeper to that joy that you have to offer. And so again, Lord, we just say thank you for what it is that you give us. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.